I am a bit conflicted today. I'm conflicted because I want to be faithful to our Bible study. I want to be faithful to the read-through that we're doing every day of the week. We have a different reading, and I just think it's marvelous the way they have not only divided the Word of God, but the way they seem to connect from day to day, at least in my soul. And I've heard several of you say the same thing. So the daily reading, if it were just me doing what I thought I was going to do this morning, I would talk to you about four texts. I would talk to you about 2 Corinthians, Exodus, Psalms 50, and a piece out of Jeremiah. So I had a plan. I had this plan out of God's Word, and I still think it's pretty good stuff. I may get to it, I may not. If you have not been reading through on the scheduled read, I would recommend it. Amanda is faithful to print next week's reading in the bulletin, so what you have in today's bulletin is what we're going to read next week, day by day. It's really good. A couple weeks ago, a brother brought me a book, and he just was thinking, hey, have you read this book before, and would you like to, you know, well, yeah, you know, I was familiar with the book. I am not one, it's not my habit to normally use other books to preach from. I don't normally want to quote other sources. Not that I disrespect other sources, but I'm really primarily interested in the Word of God. This is a little book called A Prayer That Moves Heaven, written by the wonderful pastor Ron Mell, who's gone to be with Jesus. And let's see, Madison, is this going to work? Can we get slide one up? A Prayer That Moves Heaven. This has been one of those kind of weeks where I've just been running into opportunity after opportunity to try and move heaven. It's been one of those kind of weeks where I've just been running into stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Without giving you all the stuff, it's. Do you and I have this in common, that we would like to be those that can move heaven? Don't we agree that we would like to be able to say to God, help in some area, and here's what's on my heart, and here's a concern, not even out of pure selfishness. I'm not talking just about my needs. Oh, gosh, if I were writing the Bible, I'd take that whole business out of there that you read this week in Jeremiah about the shepherds. Quit laughing. Sally and I have a dialogue. Did you read this week about the shepherds? After reading some of that, I don't even want to be one. Right? I would go back to, you know, working for a living. Because shepherding the flock of God is an awesome thing to even undertake. You quickly realize that we're not worthy. You know, I mean, when you start to understand what God's called you to, 1 Corinthians, the read this week in 2 Corinthians, is all about your calling. And when you understand, how many of you have been called to something? You know you've been called to something. All right, six people have been called. How many of you six that know you've been called feel worthy for the thing you've been called to? Very few hands. So we really don't understand too much about our royal priesthood anointing, do we? Because if we really got it, then we'd understand that he's equipped us with the things he's called us to do. So Ron Mell starts his introduction to this little book is where he explains the day that and he was a big man, a strong man, an athletic man, and he went to the doctor for his annual physical, and came out of that feeling terrific because he looked good, felt good. Doctor called him up, said, you got to come in right away. We have to talk. And he dropped the bomb on him that he had leukemia. And, I mean, here's a man of faith and power who's just been told he has leukemia. He and his wife, Joyce, they handled that about like the way you and I would handle it. What? Followed by, help! because this guy walked through many years of adversity, I think God blessed him with some wisdom and showed him some prayer life that we could benefit from. I'm going to give you the 10 summary points from his book, slide by slide. If you want to take notes, be ready to go. Use the back of your bulletin. These are quick. Number one. Madison, there you go. Walk ready every day. You never know when the Edomites are coming. Oh, you're going to Edomites? Well, if you'd have been reading this week, you'd understood who the Edomites were. But the idea was that for Jehoshaphat was sitting around his camp. Everything was perfect. Life was good. You ever experienced the good life? Right? I mean, everything is in order. Everything's good. And the king did not realize that just outside of his sight came an enemy. For Ron Mel, the enemy was called leukemia. For each of us, it's going to be called something different, at least in if we live till if we go before Jesus gets here. But he says, you never know when the Edomites are coming. I said earlier, we need to be on our alert for spiritual war. Yes? We should get up every day, not fearful, but alert. And we should go through our walk because we don't know what's coming. Number two. So set your heart's direction every morning. The alarm goes off. We slam the thing. We're mad because we have to get up. And then we got to get into our routine. And then life just happens and our whole day takes over. Whether it's work or school or whatever it is, we just get sucked up into the rut of life. Oh, wait a minute, dear one. Set your heart's direction every morning. Make up your mind to follow Jesus. Number three. Drink deeply every day from His fountain of mercy and grace. I love the song we sang earlier about mercy and grace. Drink deeply every day. Number four. Look beyond the facts until you see the truth. I dare say that every situation you and I are facing right now has a whole bunch of facts that we stack up. And we try to position those facts, hear me now, we try to position the facts the way we want to understand the thing. So if my bride and I have a discussion, I will use the available facts to persuade her that my observation and conclusions are correct. And what will she do with these same facts? Probably show me I can't read or something. I don't know. Husbands and wives, the enemy is after you. Parents and children, the enemy is after you. People who name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the enemy is after you. So we've got to be careful that we don't just look at the data, but that we see what the truth of God's Word is. This book that Ron Mel wrote, that tiny, you saw the thing. Had he expounded like I'm doing, the thing would have been huge, yes? Number five, welcome your fear as long as it drives you to your knees. I think a lot of us, we get fearful about something and we freak out. We get fearful, we scream, we yell, we do whatever we do, or we internalize, or we hit the bottle, or throw the pills down, or whatever it is we do. But what should we really do? We should pray. What kind of prayer that we've been reading about from David moved heaven? It was a prayer of righteousness. What did Job do when he was rotting away, literally being dissolved in his own flesh? What did he do? He didn't curse God and die. He called on the Lord. He says, I don't get this. So God, I don't like this. I don't want this, but you must know more than me. Number six. It reads so easy, doesn't it? Always surrender to God, never to your circumstances. If he was correct on slide one that the Edomites are coming, then I would suggest your circumstances may change. I've often said we're only one phone call away from something that we don't want to hear about. But my surrender needs to be to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the power of God Almighty, to the knowledge that His Holy Spirit is here now to both comfort and empower us, even as He gifts us to walk in the Spirit. Yes? This is the Christian life. So if I'm surrendered to God, then it doesn't, then the circumstances eventually are going to have to yield as well. But you and I suffer one defect, and that is we judge everything by the circumstances. We need to judge them by what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I'm saved, healed, and delivered. That means I am saved, healed, and delivered. Number seven. Listen for His voice before you leave the place of prayer. As believers, one thing we agree on is that it's a good thing to get together and to pray together. We call ourselves together sometimes in prayer. We join hands to pray for each other. Sometimes it's in a community or corporate setting like this. Sometimes it might be just at home around the table. Sometimes it might just be husband and wife. We are a people who pray. Amen? All right, we pray. But a lot of our prayers, if you're being honest with yourself, a lot of your prayers are you talking. Or are you listening to someone else who's praying? I mean, if I'm going to pray with the Borisons, while they're praying, I'm listening to their prayer so that I can be in agreement with their prayer. Yes? That's proper. But the three of us ought to stop after we've prayed and pay attention to what God might say. I just think it could radically transform the way prayer happens if we would spend at least some of the time listening for what God says. Someone may honestly say, well, I've never heard God speak. Well, how much time have we honestly spent listening? Number eight. Now, this is an interesting one. You can debate any of these. This is just Pastor Ron Mell's thoughts on the subject, but he says that we should ask God about Satan's plans before the enemy steals our most precious treasures. What are your treasures? What is it that the devil is trying to rob, kill, and destroy? What have you got that he would want to mess up? Huh? Your faith, your prayer life, your worship, your marriage, your family, your kids, your job. I mean, what is it that you treasure? I mean, this is a very interesting thing. It'd drive you to your knees to just ponder, what is it that you treasure? And I could say, well, I really treasure my wife. I thank God for her. I couldn't do or be or enjoy or whatever if it weren't for what He's done to give me my wife. So if I really value this, then does it make sense that the enemy is coming along to try and take her out? Huh? Or take me out? Wow, this is big. Number nine. Oh, and the others are easy. Resolve to do what the Lord has told you to do. I remember when I was called into the ministry, I said no. I've told you my little story. For 2 years, I tried to get out of the deal. For 2 years, I was very eloquent in telling God how He must not know what He's doing. I finally surrendered to Him and said, okay, I'll do it, because kind of what I had resolved in my own inside was this thing was just going to fail, so let's just get it over with. Resolve to do what the Lord has told you to do. Number 10. You said 9 was hard? cease from your own striving and wait for God to work. There's a lot of Bible verses you could use to stack up for every one of these. I thank Pastor Ron, who for a 4-year period was my boss. These are good words to us. It's good for us to remind ourselves of the ways that we could benefit and prosper in our walk with God. Thank you, Madison. That's the end of those. So, very quick summary of our read this morning as it might relate to hearing those 10 points. In 2 Corinthians 1 through 3, and right at the beginning, it says, "You are chosen by the will of God." Chosen by the will of God. Who is it that is chosen? We are, huh? The reader is being told that you are chosen by the will of God. Hello? Who can read this book? Can anybody on the planet get a Bible and read it? Yes. All right. So you don't have to come to Dayspring to say that this applies to you. You don't even have to necessarily agree with the statement of our faith or anything else. What if you are in a tribal, some kind of dark tribe that man's never discovered in, I don't know, South America or New Guinea or somewhere? They haven't been westernized. They don't have radio and TV. Is it possible to get the Word of God to them? So when the missionaries get the Word of God to them, learn their language, then translate the Bible into their language like Wycliffe does and like these amazing people with this gift of language are able to do. And then this tribal person picks up 2 Corinthians 1 and he reads, or she reads, "You are chosen by the will of God." Is that true to them or not true? Have you heard it is God's will that none should perish? Whose will? That how many should perish? So it's God's will. He doesn't want people to perish. Then why would people perish? Yes, thank you. That they just get stubborn. And they say, "God, I'm going to reject everything you've done for me." I got the most amazing video this week. It really helped me when I was in my funk. It came from a gal that's in Carol's Bible study, a gal named Betty Peters, sent me this email called "The Birds of Paradise." And if you want, I can send it to you. It's taken by two wildlife photographers who spent the last 10 years in New Guinea studying 29 species of bird that don't exist anywhere else on Earth, right? They've not found these birds anywhere else on the planet, but they found them here. So for 10 years, they've been photographing their every move, trying to understand them, and then showing us graphically the pictures of these birds, which are absolutely beyond description with their plumage and their colors and the things that are growing out of them that you can't even call wings or things. I mean, it's amazing. And the guy is saying, "Isn't evolution amazing?" And I'm saying, what kind of a complete idiot is this? He's looking at the hand of God and calling it evolution. Now, wait a minute. If this bird that's got these things that going like this coming out of it, if it was a product of evolution in a place where they only found that bird, then there's got to be another bird halfway like that. This is the whole understanding of transitional forms, which, by way, this is a secret announcement that there may be coming to Dayspring, and I'm not saying it yet, that we might be having a 12-week Tuesday night presentation of a Ken Ham whole series, but you don't know about it yet, because I haven't been given the permission to announce it yet. But if we can get the details worked out, it might happen. But, I mean, it's just so amazing. I'm looking at these birds of paradise. one after the other and saying, you can't get from here to here without something in between that would look transitionally like this. Well, come on, dear ones, it's the same in our spiritual walk. Jesus Christ has made us. He loves us. Who has He made? He's made everybody that's been made. Okay, I am one who is on the side of the faith belief. My doctrine is that God is the creator. So if I'm wrong, well, then what I say isn't accurate. But if I'm right, that God is the creator, then I'm saying God's created everything. That we, therefore, we are not the creator. Hello? That God is the creator. Oh, someone might say, what about procreation? What about it? Who made it? There you go. I win again. All right. Because you've been called, because you've been chosen, because it is the will of God, the whole rest of these next seven verses, which we're not doing now, is all about the comfort of God's Holy Spirit. How many of us, just in our morning experience, already listening to the prayer request, how many recognize we are a people who need comfort? We are a people who need comfort. And how many of us have tried to comfort others and failed? Somehow you failed in being able to provide the comfort that was needed. How many of you have ever experienced the rejection of someone when you've tried to comfort them? How many of you have been those rejected? Yes. Well, what do you do? I think that's when you go to your knees, you start praying to move heaven. I mean, if I know that Steve's in a funk, and I come and I want to try and help Steve out of his thing, and he just says, get out of here, or he runs away, or he rejects my opportunity to comfort him, and I say, but he's a brother in Christ, I know he needs something. And I, of course, because me being who I am, I know everything, right? I know what he needs. All right, so this isn't going to work. What is it that I am left being able to do? Pray. I can always pray for my brother. And then I put on the sign, Pentecost is coming. Let it happen to you. And I just close with this exhortation to the whole body of Christ. Has Jesus Christ lived, died, been buried, and raised from the dead?
Yes.
Has He sent the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
The Paraclete, the one who comes to comfort and empower His people. Then let's do it. Let's avail ourselves of God's Spirit. Let's open again this week to God's Spirit to comfort us wherever it is we need comfort, to pray for those who need our prayer, and to allow the power of God to begin to work again, afresh, anew. How cool it is to recognize I'm a Christian. Can you say that? I'm a Christian. We can say, go Blazers, or go Ducks, or go Beavers. I mean, we can say, I am a fan of this or that. But do you know what the definition of a fanatic is? I've shared this with you before. The definition of a fanatic: someone who loves Jesus more than you. Anyone who's more extreme in their faith will appear to you as a fanatic. So I say, let's overtake Banks, Oregon. Let's take the thing over. Let's just be known as people who love Jesus Christ. Amen? So Lord, we exalt You again today. We thank You for Your word to us. I thank You for encouraging us this way this morning. Help us not be defeated, but be those who walk in victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.